Bibles, please, to 2 Chronicles chapter 25. Second Chronicles chapter 25, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now it came to pass, when the kingdom was established to him, that he slew his servants that had killed the king his father. But he slew not their children, but did as it was written, as it is written in the law of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, the fathers shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for the fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. Moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together, and made them captains over thousands, and captains over hundreds, according to the houses of their fathers, throughout all Judah and Benjamin. And he numbered them from 20 years old and above, and found them 300,000 choice men, able to go forth to war, that could handle spear and shield. He hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor out of Israel for 100 talents of silver. But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it. Be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy, for God hath power to help and to cast down. And Amaziah said to the man of God, But what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Then Amaziah separated them, to wit, the army that was come to him out of Ephraim to go home again. Wherefore their anger was greatly kindled against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. And Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people and went to the Valley of Salt and smote the children of Seir 10,000. And other 10,000 left alive did the children of Judah carry away captive and brought them unto the top of the rock and cast them down from the top of the rock, that they all were broken in pieces. But the soldiers of the army which Amaziah sent back that they should not go with him to battle fell upon the cities of Judah from Samaria even to Beth-horon, and smote 3,000 of them, and took much spoil. Now it came to pass, after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir, and set them up to be his gods, and bowed down himself before them, and burned incense unto them. Wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet, which said unto him, Why hast thou sought after the gods of the people which could not deliver their own people out of thine hand? And it came to pass, as he talked with him, that the king said unto him, Art thou made of the king's counsel? Forbear. Why shouldest thou be smitten? Then the prophet forbear and said, I know that God hath determined to destroy thee, because thou hast done this, and hast not hearkened unto my counsel. Then Amaziah, king of Judah, took advice, and sent to Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, Come, let us see one another in the face. And Joash, king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, king of Judah, saying, The thistle that was in Lebanon, sent to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, Give thy daughter to my son to wife. And there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon, and trode down the thistle. Thou sayest, Lo, thou hast smitten the Edomites, and thine heart lifteth thee up to boast. Abide now at home. Why shouldest thou meddle to thine hurt, that thou shouldest fall, even thou and Judah with thee? But Amaziah would not hear, for it came of God that he might deliver them into the hand of their enemies, because they sought after the gods of Edom. So Joash the king of Israel went up, and they saw one another in the face, both he and Amaziah king of Judah at Beth Shemesh, which belongeth to Judah. And Judah was put to the worse before Israel, and they fled, every man to his tent. And Joash, the king of Israel, took Amaziah, king of Judah, the son of Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, at Beth Shemesh, and brought him to Jerusalem, and break down the wall of Jerusalem from the gate of Ephraim to the corner gate, 400 cubits. And he took all the gold and the silver and all the vessels that were found in the house of God with Obed-Edom, and the treasures of the king's house, and the hostages also, and returned to Samaria. And Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, lived after the death of Joash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, 15 years. Now the rest of the acts of Amaziah, first and last, behold, are they not written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel? Now after the time that Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord, they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. But they sent to Lachish after him and slew him there, and they brought him upon horses, and buried him with his fathers in the city of Judah. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, we see what the prophet means then when he says that Amaziah served the Lord but not with a perfect heart. Brothers and sisters, let us not shrink back from striving to serve the Lord with a perfect heart. We might confess, and that rightly, that we will never be perfect in this life. God has not given us grace in this life that we should be perfect. And that should never diminish our efforts toward perfection. Let us strive. Let us contend. Let us press for perfection, knowing all the while that even the meager progress that we make in this life is indeed the grace and kindness of the Lord our God. And the progress that we do not make is because of our own weakness and corruption. And yet, let us not be discouraged. The Lord has pressed us, pressed perfection to us as a goal. From the lips of our Lord Himself in the Sermon on the Mount, "Ye shall be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." Of course, the apostles echo that sentiment as well. We see the waste and destruction to the household and family and the nation of Amaziah that he served the Lord not with a perfect heart. So let us not shirk this duty of striving for perfection. Notice I did not say the duty of perfection. But I did say the duty of striving for perfection. So, we see some good in Amaziah. We see that he had respect unto the law of Moses, that he desired to follow that law. And so, while he might have been overly vengeful because there were servants in his household that had killed his father, he was not overly vengeful. He did indeed put them to death that had conspired against the king and committed regicide. But he himself restrained his hand from the children of those men. Of course, it was common for kings to kill any rivals, any potential rivals, and any potential threat. And so we see then that this did take great restraint on the part of Amaziah. He had great respect under the law of Moses, and he is commended for doing so. And brothers and sisters, let's remember this, that especially in Reformed Presbyterianism today, we often fail to commend where we ought to commend, and we all too quickly condemn. Remember the word of the prophet here, that he did serve the Lord, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, although not with a perfect heart. And his first word is a word of commendation. That's a good example for us, isn't it? Let us learn to commend one another, one another's churches, one another's denominations, one another generally, where there is indeed room for commendation. Such encourages us to be at peace with one another. Such encourages us toward greater acts that are also due, to which are also due more commendation. Right? If we are commended for doing good, doesn't that inculcate in us a desire to do more good? And if it's all condemnation, if it's all at odds with one another and striving with one another, doesn't that discourage? It does. So, that's verses 1 through 4. So then he gathers Judah and he gathers an army out of Israel. Of course, Israel at this time is wholly given over to idolatry. The men of Ephraim, the soldiers that are coming down that he bought with 100 talents of silver, are wicked men. They're idolaters, and the Lord is not with them, and the prophet comes to him. Notice the grace and kindness of the prophet to let him know that what he's about to do is wrong. Now I'm going to show you later on in this chapter that Amaziah followed the Edomites very closely. He declined, slid back, if you will. He deformed from that hearty love that he had for the law of Moses. He came back from that. But notice here, at least at this point, he hears the word of the prophet, and he tells the prophet, but you understand, I've given them 100 talents of silver. What about that? I mean, I've got a commitment here. I'm invested. The prophet tells him, oh, that money's not important to the Lord. Righteousness is important to him. The Lord is able to give thee much more than that. You better write that off for the sake of doing what's right, for the sake of righteousness. And so he does, commendably. He listens to the voice of the prophet, and he sends the Ephraimites home. Notice on the part of the Ephraimites, they did not take correction as they ought to have taken it. They did not take the word of the Lord as they should have taken it, but became angry and on the way home wrought havoc in Israel. I'm sorry, in Judah. They attacked many of the Judaic cities, the Judahite cities, on their way home to express their anger that they would be excluded from the battle. They might have said in their hearts, oh, you guys down south, you're our brothers. We have a common ancestry. Jacob is our father too, you know. Of course, we learn the lesson here that the spirit is thicker than blood ties. And idolaters can be found in your own family. As a matter of fact, when our Lord came a-preaching the gospel, what did He say? I am come to set a man at variance with the members of his own household. In fact, for many of you, that's where you'll find your enemies, in your own house. Who are my brothers, my sisters, my mother, my father, Jesus says. Those who hear the word of God and do it. And so, while the Ephraimites might have made an argument, you're our bone and our flesh, the prophet makes the right argument. They're idolaters. They have no part in Yahweh. So they're sent home, and angrily so. They go home angrily, and they abuse their brethren on the way home, don't they? And on the one hand, they were willing to say, you're our brothers. And then immediately following that, they were able to attack them. We see their sincerity. So, we move on then. Great and successful campaign in Edom for Amaziah. Successful campaign. Remember that there was a time at which the Lord said to the armies of Israel, don't go to Seir. He's your brother. You're not going there. That's Esau. Do not go to Seir. Well, now, in the history of redemption, it's changed. Now is the time for Seir to be brought into subjection. And so the Lord sends His army there. And He sends them success. They have indeed a great success in Edom. 20,000 are killed, 10,000 in the battle, and 10,000 more by being cast off the prow of a hill. Again, by the command of the Lord. Let's not shrink back from that. But then, the unthinkable takes place. Amaziah comes home and he begins imitating the Edomites. He begins imitating the Edomites, first of all, in that he takes their gods to be his gods, sets them up in his own house, and burns incense to them, and the prophet comes to him incredulous. These gods could not deliver the Edomites. Why did you bring them in? While you followed our God Yahweh, you did well. While you heard the word of the prophet and followed the law of Moses, you did well. What happened? And what does the king do? Not only did he imitate the Edomites in taking their gods to himself, he imitated the Edomites in the way that they received correction. And so as the Edomites were angry when they received the correction, "You all go home, you're of a different spirit than we are," so also Amaziah imitates them when the prophet rebukes him for worshiping false gods. He says, "Are you made of the king's council? You better be quiet, because if you're not, striking's coming at you." And what does the prophet say? And I believe the prophet told him this weeping. I think the prophet probably had quite a tender heart toward the things of the Lord and told him this weeping, "Now I know that the Lord will destroy you because you have responded this way to his correction." The hand was writing on the wall. How do you receive correction? How do we receive correction? It's a difficult thing. It strikes against the foundations of our Adamic corruptions, those that we carry with us, right? Strikes against those foundations and says to us, "Who is this upstart that would correct us? Me." It does work against our pride. It does get our, as we say here in Texas, get our back up against it. Brings the hackles up on our neck. But you know, the righteous are characterized as loving correction. The righteous are characterized as receiving those faithful and friendly wounds. The righteous are characterized as saying, "Let a righteous man smite me, and it shall be a kindness to me." The prophet came, and notice that every time correction comes, whether it is from the pastor, an elder, or a friend, when correction comes, the reason we get our backs up is because we didn't think of it first. We already knew we were doing wrong. Our conscience was already pricked. Yet we were willful in this. And when we're called on it, makes it the worse, because we really already knew. Amaziah knew that it was wrong to burn incense to the gods of the Edomites. Amaziah knew that it was wrong to refuse the correction of the prophet. Yet he did. He went on in his pride. These were signs of destruction. And brothers and sisters, hear this well. If we will not receive correction, it is a sign. It is a sign that we're headed for destruction, except we turn. Except we turn back. Getting angry, shooting the messenger, these are bad signs. So then, Amaziah strengthens himself and sends a message up to the northern kingdom. "You guys are mad at us. You attacked our cities on the way out. Let you and me see each other in the face." I like the response of the northern kingdom. "Oh, you know, the thistle that was in Lebanon said to the cedar that was in Lebanon, 'Give your daughter to my son to wife.' You've lifted yourself up because you were successful in Edom. 20,000. Don't come up here. We're much more prepared." But he wouldn't. He would not forbear. He went up, and Judah was defeated. The Lord sought to destroy them, to punish them, to chastise them, to put them to the worst because their king had served other gods. Idolatry leads to destruction. Idolatry leads to destruction. All right, well, let's end the reading there. Let's stand and call upon the Lord and